Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. Welcome to the R7 podcast. I'm Dave. I'm here with my buddy, Dave Bennett.
What's up?
Today we're talking about Destiny Part 2. And the last podcast I talked about, this is such a big topic. It's really hard to get your mind wrapped around it. It's really hard to say, okay, you know, the brave heart destiny, this is what I was destined for. We know that destiny is a journey along the way. It's not necessarily a destination, you know, and as a Christian, we want to glorify the Lord with our talents and our abilities. I did talk about the 10 archetypes with the Purpose Link organization, and as a good place to start, you know, being a healer, altruist, conceiver, teacher, processor, connector, discoverer, conceiver, creator, builder, you know, and all these different archetypes have strengths and vulnerabilities to them. And I think if you're thinking about destiny and where you want to go, like this is a really good place to start to find the tip of the spear in your messaging. And so Dave and I were talking about biblical characters and their destiny. And we're talking about Jonah. Let's talk about Jonah.
Yeah, right. So again, you know, book in the Bible, everybody knows this since you were little. Jonah and the whale, the great fish, depending on, you know, what you want to talk about there. But right, this idea where God tells him, I need you to go to Nineveh. And this is the destiny, the vision, this is what I have for you. And Jonah goes, I don't think so. Peace. And he goes and gets on a boat and goes the opposite direction. So, Dave, let me ask you something. If you're thinking about destiny, we'll stop here in a straight line. You're concerned about just a degree off. Dude, he went like a 180 off. Mm-hmm. He's going south where he's supposed to be going north. So when you think about destiny, you know, trying to be true to where you're going is a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah. To some people, I guess, right?
I would think.
Don't care.
Well, you know, Andy Stanley put it this way years ago, your direction determines your destination. So, you know, Dave, you're in North Carolina. I'm in Florida. If you want to come visit me, do not go up 95 north.
Right.
You're going to have to go south, man. Right?
How many of us are going north?
That's a good question. Why do people choose to run away from their destiny?
I just think there's a philosophical debate. I don't know that we're going to cover anything today. Honestly, we're not going to get no conclusion here. This is really tough because, you know, I don't know how many people, you know, really want to glorify the Lord with their talents and their abilities, you know, or, you know, they feel like, you know, their ultimate faith is just really them and their abilities to do things. And, you know, I think as a Christian belief, though, you know, you believe in a higher power. You believe that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the light. You know, that no one can go to heaven but through him, right? And so, like, we are chasing this idea that we want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And, you know, like, some of us are going north, we should be going south. And, you know, how do we recorrect ourselves, you know? Through discipleship programs, through repenting, you know, this is a big deal, you know, destiny, you know, what am I called to do? And so I gave the analogy last night about, you know, like, you know, your navigation system, when you go down the wrong road, just automatically calculates, you know, does God automatically calculate for us? Do we go back to what's holy and what's right and righteous and the fruits of the spirit, to go back to something that's we feel good about, we feel fulfilled about? Some of us don't care. I get that. You know, some of us do care. I get that.
So
dude, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, okay. So it's one of these things where you're asking, like, if I'm off kilter, I'm off course, is it a program? No. Okay. Program ain't gonna solve that. All right. You know, we see that when people that need to lose weight, like me, don't just do the program. You got to be in it with other people. So it has to do with community and accountability. It made me think of that African proverb, right? If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together.
Yeah.
Right? That's the idea, whether it's a coach, a friend, or whatever. Now, back to the story of Jonah. Jonah goes by himself, that we know. You know? Now, God didn't tell him go alone. He just went alone. And he didn't, well, and he ran away. And isn't that funny? If we want to go screw it up and not go do what he calls us to do, it's a lot easier to go alone because there's nobody in our ear telling us what to do or not to do.
Nobody holding us accountable.
Yeah, because why would Jonah have brought anybody with him? Yeah. He wouldn't have, because they would have been like, this is a bad idea. And he would have been like, I don't want to hear it. Because even when he gets thrust into community and he gets on the ship and now they're in a storm and they're casting lots, basically they're drawing straws, trying to figure out, you know, what should they do? Right? Jonah gets the short end of the stick. He goes, yeah, it's because of me. And they chuck him in the water and the storm goes away and he gets swallowed by a fish. He's in community in that point. And the fishermen are like, now you're the problem. Right? Reminds me of that scene in Couples Retreat. And you're a problem. It's the same idea.
This is what's going on in my brain in this particular topic. Okay. So I believe God is love. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So does God teach us, does God purposely put us in a car accident to teach us a lesson?
Ooh, this is a deep one.
Or were you not supposed to buy that car? Or were you supposed to put gas in your car and you were just made a wrong turn and put yourself in a vulnerable place to get in a car accident? See, I believe, I don't know. Theologically or philosophically, but this is my philosophy in life of like, we're dumb. You know, we got a lot of fear, lust, anger, and pride. We're very sinful people. You know, you've sinned like 6 times in the last 4 minutes of being on this podcast. Who are you kidding?
The over under is 9.
So when we make bad mistakes, we don't know, David, until 6 years later, maybe that was a bad mistake. And you're not 1 degree off. You're 27 degrees off of what God's called you to become.
It's that butterfly effect that you have no idea when that butterfly flaps its wings, what the impact's going to be on the other side of the world. It's the same thing where I think we undervalue the decisions we make on a daily basis, you know, and ultimately, you know, overvalue our personal importance to it. You know, where the reality is every decision we should think about, right? You know, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about hold every thought captive. And it's like, man, I don't have time for that. I'm going at a pace. I'm going at a speed. And we live in a world that goes really fast. It's getting faster and faster every day. You know, you talked a couple episodes ago about just the touches during elections and how things have sped up there. You know, well, it's also sped up in terms of the decisions we make and how quickly, you know, we have to decide. So, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, am I screwing things up by buying a car? You know, did I buy the car? Got me in the car accident. Should I not buy that car? Do I not pray about it? Do I not seek wise biblical counsel? Come on, man. You bought the car. You needed wheels, right? But does God, you know, does God chase us down, put us in a bag and beat us with a bat? I don't know. You know, you can look at the example of Job that God took everything away. Well, there's a circumstance in that book that's happening that no one can see, you know, where God is putting his chips in the middle of the table and betting on Job. And Satan's going, yeah, there's no way. And he allows Satan to do that. So then the philosophical, spiritual side of it is how often does that conversation happen about you or about me or about our friend down the street? I don't know. You know, but, you know, God allows things to happen. I don't know that he just forces us in the corner and starts beating on us like Mike Tyson.
Here's another one that'll mess you up. How about characters in the Bible that were destined to do what they were supposed to do. Like Pharaoh was destined. Moses was destined. Moses was put on the planet to do what Moses. Are we like movies in a characters in a movie, God's movie? Like if you think about this analogy, right? If you were going to make a movie, you put characters in the movie, and the characters, like when they you write them out in a script, they're going to live out that character throughout the plot of the movie. Now they may change some words here and there, you know, of whoever you hire, you know, to change the words, but at the end of the day, their character will live up to the plot which you've created. And so are we part of a, we have no choice, and this is, you know, like Pharaoh, Moses, you can go down the list. These people were going to do what they were supposed to do. Like they were put in this story for a reason.
So the messed up part about that, right, that you kind of touched on just for a hint there is we all have free will. We all know this, right? But there are verses in that story where it says, but God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So is God the puppet master? You don't really have free will? He's going to make you do certain things? It didn't say Pharaoh chose to. It said God did it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about that, you're going back into destiny again, man. Do I really have a destiny, or is it just a script that I'm following, to your point?
See, that idea is very depressing. That we're just part of a plot and you got to live your part. I kind of feel
far more important than that.
What's that?
I said, you're far more important than that.
And so are you. So
yeah.
I kind of get back to, and I, through R7, I was saying this on the last podcast, like, I don't want to over like inflate and amplify what I've done the last 23 years, but I've taken hundreds, maybe even 1,000 people through a destiny session.
Yep.
And really trying to uncover their passions by using the passion profile, a purpose-linked organization's assessment tool with the 10 archetypes. I've used that as kind of a foundation to pull out what their passions are to, as a beginning spot. And I just feel like, man, like God has a vision, a purpose for our lives, and it's our ability to uncover that. It's inside of us, and really it's not what school you went to, it's what you love to do, and really helping people understand that process. Now, out of those potentially 1,000 people, you know, how many of them follow through? Probably a very small percentage, but man, we get after it for 10 weeks. Like we are in it, you know, first session, 3 hours, every week after that, an hour. There's never a time when they go through R7. Like it is very, I tell people that if you're going to go through this, don't buy a car, don't get divorced, don't get married, don't buy a puppy, don't sell a puppy. Like
don't quit your job,
don't have a kid, you know, don't change jobs. You know, this is going to be a pretty rigorous process where I'm going to be getting to the bottom so we can pull out that tip of the spear in the messaging. Now, I'm not saying that because, you know, like I want to pretend like I'm a hero. I'm just saying a lot of people through this, and like I really truly believe in my spirit. And of course, I could be wrong. I'll find out when I go to heaven. But that there is a process in place, and God is love. And God, when you have a vision, God puts the resources available to you, around you, for you to use to accomplish your vision. I believe that, man, because I've seen tens of millions of dollars come flowing in when somebody has a beautiful vision, you know, like the bat signal on a top of a building saying, this is who I am, and people come in and to help. I mean, I've seen that happen. It's so awesome.
But in your experience, it's always tied to passion. You can't have a compelling vision without having passion linked to it, right?
Yeah.
So have you ever done
learning a skill is not going to get you through a beating, a mental, emotional, physical, spiritual beat down, you know, like
hands up.
Well, the passion will get you through, man.
Yep. You have to have passion. You have to believe. Now, when you've done one of these passion sessions, let's talk about this for a second.
Destiny sessions. Yeah.
you know, passion profile in the Destiny session. Right. So for any of our listeners, and they're like, what's that about? What's that like? Does that always align with the vision piece? Or do you ever find somebody where their passion and their vision are not even close, then you have to deliver really bad news?
Ask the question again. Sorry, you're breaking up.
When you do this passion profile, does the passion piece typically line up with the vision of where they want to go? Or is it sometimes different? And then you're like, okay, we need to talk about the fact that your passion's over here and your vision's over here, and it doesn't line up. And then you have to have a harder conversation, right?
I'd say every situation is different, and there's certain scenarios that works out, and it's clear. Like, there's been situations I've been in, and like, I just facilitate, man. Like, I'm not projecting. I try really hard, and I even say, I'm not projecting here. Like, this is me taking up information that you've told me and putting it back, and you got to make a decision. And there's been some higher profile people that I'm like, this is the wrong path they're going down, man. Like, this is wrong decision. But I don't say that. I support it and say, okay, let's put some rigor behind it. Let's get the core values, the mission, that, you know, let's see where it goes, because it's going to come back, you know, and they're going to figure out that they have to go back to that choice, you know, and make a different one.
So when you think back over the last 20 plus years of doing passion profile, destiny piece, that kind of thing, what's your number one example or your best memory of doing that, where maybe you did it with somebody, it was like, oh my gosh, you were more energized when you got done than when you started? You have one of those?
Say, you know, yeah, 70% of those that go through, I would say that's it.
Yeah.
You want me to give you a real example?
Yeah, come on, man. I need you to tell a story, Super Dave.
Yeah, so I'll tell you that Hope Reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S, like a rein on a horse. They're an awesome inspirational story. They came to me probably 6 or 7 years ago, and they have equestrian therapy here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And you know, some equestrian therapy. I didn't know anything about it at the time, but basically they rescue horses, and they bring in troubled teens, people that are dealing with some type of emotional distress or issues, and they tell the story of the horse to these kids, and there's healing in it. And so they had rented some property, and that property owner came to him and said, we don't know if we can rent to you anymore. You need to shut down your ministry and move. And we were going through this destiny session process, and we came up with, you know, hope and healing for every child as a vision. And they really, the two leaders there, they really fought me on every child. And so in a vision, you want to make it, you know, so that's, you know, it's short, portable, easy to understand, memorable, inspiring statement. It's got to be 7-11 words, no conjunctions. Yep. And, you know, that every child is, you know, like, it's got to have something big to it. So like every child are like, you know, we just can't do every child. And I was like, guys, listen, that's the whole point of the vision. You need God to show up.
Yep.
And I would say within 30 to 40 days of them saying, okay, let's go, let's see what happens, I think they raised $10 or $20 million, $10 or $15 million, something like that. And they got a place, and it was just a couple miles up the street. And this was like 6 years ago. And just a couple weeks ago, the owners, visionaries of the organization called and said, you're not going to believe what's happening. Like, this vision is so awesome. We're going national.
No way.
And I keep it on my phone. Actually, it's very inspirational. There's, we, you know, I don't know if you know, remember working with us. I'm like, of course I remember working with you guys. You know, like, this is happening. This is so cool. Like, they're crushing it. Now there's, you know, it's not all rainbows and unicorns, you know, there's issues along the way and all that kind of stuff. But they crushed it, man. Another example, is a good buddy of mine, mentor now. The best one that we've ever came up, that I think we've come up with, is to end slavery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, you know, who we're talking about there. I don't want to throw his name out, but, to end slavery, you know, he ran the largest modern day anti-slavery organization in the world for many years because of that destiny vision that we created. So yeah, lots of great examples, man. And lots of different husband wife combos out there that worked with that, you know, just didn't have direction. That's the other thing with that destiny. Yeah. You know, when you're able to find those archetypes, it gives you direction, and in direction there's clarity. And you may venture from it, but it gets you started, which is, to me, is exciting. The clarity and direction is exciting more so than like stuck, you know?
Well, and you're right. I mean, if you are coming up with a vision that supports destiny, right? There is a divinely providential component to that. There is, and you need that. I mean, I've talked about, I mean, I've shared the vision I shared a couple times before, helping everyone win every day with people in the past. And I tell them, I'm like, it's a vision because it's going to take God to get it done. They're like, well, and I'm like, think about it. Are you going to help everyone win every day? Like, really? Then I'm going to start poking holes in that because it's going to be hard as all get out to get that done. You have to have the God element to do it. And then people get confused and they go, but doesn't it need to be achievable? Well, I mean, you're going to race this thing to the end. You're going to achieve as much as you can. But at the end of the day, do you really want a vision that you can achieve? Because I would tell you that you're not thinking big enough. You're not dreaming big enough. Your destiny isn't big enough.
Yeah, that gets into like, it's a mission statement if it's achievable.
Right. Right.
Let me ask you this, okay? I know we got to wrap up. You got to roll here.
Yeah.
I was late. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
True or false, David Bennett? Sometimes God's pursuit means he provokes a fight. True or false? What say you? I have some music.
I've got a hard time with that one.
Tell me why.
I don't know that he provokes.
What?
Okay.
Sorry. I was playing with the soundboard.
That's fine. I don't know.
Good.
I don't know that God provokes a fight.
Okay.
I would say more he allows that to happen, because we go back into Jonah. Is God provoking Jonah by saying, hey, I need to do something. Go to Nineveh. I care about these people. I want these people, you know, to turn from their wicked ways. And then Jonah goes the opposite direction. So who's the provoker in that? Is it God? No, it's not. It's Jonah. And he goes the opposite direction in the fish. 3 days later, spit out on land. Finally goes, find God. Heads to Nineveh. Gets to Nineveh. Really hot in Nineveh, by the way. I'm sure you vacation there regularly, Dave, but it's really hot. Right. And he sits there. Yeah, he's got to go talk to these people he doesn't want to talk to because he thinks they're dumb and he doesn't like them. He goes and he talks to them and they turn their back from God. Well, he stays outside the city and, you know, this plant grows, give him shade. Nineveh, I mean, because Jonah needs a little help so his bald head doesn't get burned by the sun. I'm just saying.
Now on bald people, okay?
I'm just saying. That's all I'm just saying. And then a worm comes. And he's the plant, and it dies. Jonah gets mad at God again. Listen, man. God's not provoking a fight. He had a clear direction, a clear understanding, a clear vision of where it needed to go. And Jonah is like, I don't want to do this, you know? So I'm telling you, I don't think that God provokes certain things. I don't know that a fight is one of them. He allows things to happen for us to grow. He gives us opportunities to obey and to respond to the direction that he wants us to go. But is he out there trying to start a fight with us? I struggle with that one, my friend. Personally, I struggle with that one. I think back in my life of the times I've failed and everything, they come back to my own decisions. I'm not going to sit there and blame God because I made a bad call.
Yeah.
Or I did something sinful. You know? Because we go back to your comment, 15 minutes ago, God is love. So if God is love, is he a provoker? I go back to parenting. If I'm a good father, am I provoking my kids the whole time? No. There's actually a verse in Proverbs about not provoking your kids to anger. I don't know that that is God is who God is. I think you can probably use a different word, but he's not a provoker. He's not one that's going to sit there and kind of push you to the edge till you break. You know what I mean? I don't know that that's it. Even going back to the story of Job, did God provoke that? No. He said to Satan, yeah, I do believe that, you know, Job is somebody holy that loves me and obeys me. And he allows Satan then to do that. He's not provoking. Satan's the provoker there.
See, now we didn't talk about Satan. So
yeah, well,
if you're making Satan? Bad decisions, right? If you're not making the decision that, you know, is true north to what you're called to do, and you're making decisions that are going away from that, enter Satan, enter fear, lust, anger, pride. And now the wheels just start to fall off. And so to me, this is where trust comes in, where you go back to the Bible, you go back to the Word of God, and you say, what is true? What is based on the Bible here? Like, I really kind of look, you know, kind of focusing on the fruits of the Spirit. And so, okay, what are the fruits of the Spirit that I should, what is my fruit that I'm giving here? And it's not what I feel like I'm called to do. It's not holy. Or not holy, it's not like, I don't know, integritous, I guess, or, you know, it doesn't feel good that I'm doing this. Manipulating this person doesn't feel good. I need to get back to me, not drama, not gossip. And so to me, I just think we're a big ball of sin and mess is what I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And we don't even know. I don't think we know kind of what sin is anymore. Not that I'm an expert on it, but like I see this. I just remember growing up and some of the television stuff we were watching. It ain't that today, man. And I've justified all day long to watch stuff. And I don't even think about the sin side of it. It's just like, this is entertaining. This is drama. I want to watch it. You know, me and my wife snuggle up on the couch, you know, and watch this crazy stuff. And, you know, sin just happened all over the place. It's just, so yeah, Satan's a big one. I think he reaps havoc. You know, if you look up the logo for Satan, it's arrows in every direction. He wants to confuse you. He wants to deceive you. He wants you to be directionless. So when you find a path and go, this is what I'm going to go pursue, and I love doing this, you know, it gets harder because now sin even presses in even more, like distraction, distraction, distraction.
So it's interesting because sin, normally drama accompanies sin. There's some sort of drama that's there. You know, and years ago, I was giving a talk at an organization when the topic was drama. And I defined it as drama is when I pick me over we. So sin is also when I pick me over we in terms of my relationship to God. So try to find a point in your life or whether you're in an organization, a church, whatever, where all of a sudden there's drama and sin is not in the center of it. It is. We're selfish people, you know? And so, you know, trying to live in a way that combats that is some sort of community with God, with others, and that kind of thing. So, but it's tough because when you go back to this idea of being God being a provoker, we're going to go back, and I go back to the example I used a minute ago. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So did he provoke him? I don't know. But he did it to accomplish his plan for his people to free them out of the slavery in Egypt. So God still allows, I'm going to go back to the word allows. He still allows things to happen for his purposes to give so that glory comes back to himself. That's kind of where that lands for me.
Ultimately. Yeah. So ultimately we know that, you know, God wants you to glorify him.
Yep. Exactly. And your destiny, just like Star Wars, Luke, this is your destiny. You know, you figure God going, Dave, this is your destiny. I don't want to. That's you, by the way, not me. I don't want to. No, it is your destiny. You know what I mean? And everybody wants to believe that they're super special. They have a destiny. And you do. You do. God has a calling on your life for something. He created you for a use, for a purpose. That's why you know, R7 exists is to help you find that. Because on your own, it is really tough to do. Especially when life happens and you lose confidence and you lose direction. And to your point, you're off a degree and here, you know, 1 degree to the left. And then all of a sudden, you know, over a couple of years, that 1 degree turns into 25 and you're way out there. You know, There is a destiny. There is a plan. There is a vision for your life. You know, my vision statement for my life is provoking potential with every person on the planet. And I'm a provoker in terms of potential. But yeah, it's trying to figure that out and getting clarity around that, which is what the R7 process does, makes everything clearer all of a sudden, because now you understand some why behind the what.
All right, so let's land a plane today. Thank you for joining us. I'm excited to talk about destiny. We're probably going to have another podcast on this. This is podcast 2 on destiny. I would love to hear your comments. I would love for you to theologically just shred me, you know, put it out there. We're going to be on Spotify now. If you were listening to us on Spotify, it's awesome. But yeah, so Spotify and YouTube, and those are the two main channels now. So keep on subscribing, and we're trying to make this station, this podcast, lively and important in your life and something that you can get out of from week to week. So thanks for joining us. Dave, any final words?
You know, I don't think we ever promised to answer everybody's questions, but we're going to sure try. That's our brand promise, I guess, right? Add some value to you. Make you think about it. But if you want to shred Dave, by all means, do it. That would be great. But other than that, we'll be back at you in a week or two.
See you next week.
See ya.